Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot out, bound car, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, testing. Hey, boss. You know, Ralph, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Your one definition of a friend is someone who's there when you need him. Well, I needed him and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Elton
Jim.
Good morning, Elton Jim.
Elton Jim.
The one, the only, Elton Jim Toronto.
And welcome, everybody.
As we turn back time.
I'm back. Do people get the subtle joke, by the way, that I'm playing the bitches back and I say I'm back? Do you get that?
Yeah.
Because it's working on many levels. I mean, it's an Elton John song. I'm Elton Jim.
Right.
But then I'm playing the bitches back.
Yeah.
And I back. Say I'm back.
Back.
So are you getting that?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, this show works on so many levels that you have, it's like a Bullwinkle cartoon. I mean, the great part is no one really is appreciating my radio talent at all. But 40 years from now, when they find all these tapes, I feel like I'm going to be like, oh wow, like Bob and Ray, like, oh wow, he was really good. Why didn't anybody appreciate him?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be dead, and it won't matter. And I won't know that, but at least maybe some of these tapes will exist, and they'll say, wow, that guy was really doing a lot of stuff. Holy smokes. But yes, it is Elton Jim back here at WGN. I am going to be on until 5 a.m., unbelievably, 4 hours now on the overnight show. So that's an extra hour that they just added recently, which is kind of cool. And you are going to be with me all morning, right, Roger?
That's correct, sir.
Awesome. So good to have Roger working for the first time with producer Jessica. And she's already shown her worth because we had a problem, and she got underneath the hood. She pulled out her toolbox, and we're all set. There's my music. So now the show is official. Between my official opening, is Aubrey gone yet?
No, he's still there.
No, he's still.
Yeah, he's still.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry. Yeah,
they're going over some of the fire.
Yeah, I know. Somehow he said that. Oh, he's waiting for pizza. Yeah, he didn't care about the show. You know, Aubrey was like one of my two fans here. Yeah. I think, oh, that's nice. Aubrey's kind of hanging out. How neat is that? And now I realize Aubrey's just waiting for the delivery man.
Yeah.
Very nice. Oh, I'll tell you.
I am too.
I have always been the Rodney Dangerfield of this station.
But I'll tell you.
It was tough tonight, but I'll tell you one thing. We probably have to take a break, right, Jessica? I would assume. So we're going to take a quick break. We've got a lot lined up for you. We'll be here all morning until 5 a.m. I'm Elton Jim. Stay tuned. No switching. And we're back here. Elton Jim Toronto with you at WGN. Filling in for Matt Ubala this morning. Be here till 5 a.m. The overnight show, at least... from Friday into Saturday now, gets an extra hour. And as I said before, I'm working for the first time with Matt's regular producer, Jessica. And Jessica, you can jump on here real quick. She was all excited. She said, we have an extra hour. And I was like, well, that's great, because usually most people don't like to work more hours. But look at you, Miss Go-Getter.
I am very excited that we have an extra hour.
She said, wow, I mean, we've got an extra hour. And I was like, yeah, I know, but wow. I mean, that's great to see that people these days, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to work longer. But you're excited, and that's very nice. So very good for you. It's nice to see the young people these days who actually want to work. There's like 7 of you. So good for you. You're a dying breed. And we will... chime in with Jessica on and off, but very nice to work with you. So, like I said, we've got a lot on the dockets tonight, and we have that extra hour, which makes it even more fun, because I love doing this. And so if it was up to me, I'd be on 24 hours. In fact, when I was in my senior year of college, as a college radio station, I went to Elmhurst College right here in good old Elmhurst, Illinois. And my last show on the college radio station, I was on for 18 hours straight. I didn't make it to 24. I wanted to make it to 24, and I was drinking Jolt Cola and you name it. But after 18 hours, I finally gave up. But I just loved it, and so I am very excited to be back. In fact, if you like what you hear tonight, then I hope you will join me on July 4th, July 5th, and July 6th, a triple crown, if you will, for Elton Jim fans. I will be filling in for Nick DiGilio on July 4th, July 5th, and July 6th from 1 to 5. So I'll be back here within a couple of days. And so hopefully we'll have a little chance to bond. If you've never heard me before, welcome to the show. If you've been listening for the last several years, I was just thinking, I first came to WGN in 2008.
Yeah,
and I can't believe it's almost 10 years.
I can't remember. I can't believe you can remember that far.
Wow. Back. Yeah, April. It was actually almost. I think it was on April Fool's Day, which was very fitting.
Oh, really? No way.
Yeah, I think it was definitely in April. But I know it's 2009. So it'll be next year. It'll be 10 years. I was first at the this historic station. In fact, I tell you, it was so cool. Several years ago, I went to Mount Rushmore. Always wanted to go to Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go to Mount Rushmore, you go to Rapid City in North Dakota. It's North Dakota, right? Not South Dakota, right?
You confused me.
Now,
I think it's South Dakota.
I think it is South, now that you tell me that. Boy, do I feel like an idiot.
Watch, I'll feel like an idiot if
time,
I'm wrong.
Yeah, what time is it?
Yeah.
It's the times I don't that that we should point out. But, yeah, could you look that up real quick, Roger?
It's in Keystone, South Dakota.
South Dakota, yeah. Right. So you fly into Rapid City. And so the cool thing is, in Rapid City, it's not a very big town, but they have, on every corner, one of their big tourist attractions, on every corner in this little couple miles, they have a statue of a president on the corner. And they give you this map, and you can walk around the downtown area and see all the presidents in these life-size statues. Very
all
impressive.
45 of them?
I don't know if Trump is up there yet, but they certainly had
through
Obama.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so it was very cool. And so I'm walking around, and, nothing against James Polk.
Mm-hmm.
Or James Buchanan, but I didn't go to those. I mean, not only, I mean, they were on some side streets that were way out of town.
Oh, okay.
You know, your main intersections, you had your Washington, your Jefferson, right next to Jefferson was a statue of John Williams. He can't get away from that Thomas
That's
Jefferson.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's actually a statue of John Williams next to the Thomas Jefferson statue in Rapid City. That's how much John Williams loves.
Wow.
He loves Thomas Jefferson. But so it's kind of cool. So they give you this map and you walk around the different things. So I go and there's FDR, right? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And so I'm like, oh, we got to see the FDR statue. And we go to the FDR statue in Rapid City, and there's a, they're all different, all these statues are in different poses,
Sure.
So the one for FDR, which is ironic when you think about it, because, of course, FDR had polio and was in a wheelchair, but was rarely photographed in that wheelchair, which is a whole other story. A lot of people didn't even know that he was in a wheelchair. That's how well that was disguised, and the media never reported that. But anyway, so they show this the statue of FDR. He's standing at a podium, and he's giving a speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, this is in the 40s. There's no there's no TV yet, in any kind of major way, at least. And so if you've ever seen, some of those older film clips of those older presidents when the television age did come in, at least with film.
Sure.
They would have all the microphones on the podium for the radio station.
That's right, yeah.
And those little blocks, if you've seen them, and if you watch TV news, you always see these when they're interviewing somebody. There's a little block that is on the microphone. It's called a flag. That's what we call it in the business. It's called a flag.
That's right.
But and so on the flag, there's a bunch of microphones on the podium where FDR statue is, and there's a bunch of the flags and on the microphones. And sure enough, one of in this statue of FDR in Rapid City, South Dakota, there was the WGN flag on the statue of one of the microphones that FDR was speaking into. And I said, wow. I mean, talk about a legacy. If you ever see the great film called Inherit the Wind,
yep,
which was a drama based on the Scopes Monkey Trials, which stars Spencer Tracy and Frederick March and Gene Kelly.
That's right.
You will notice that Gene Kelly plays a reporter, and they are broadcasting this trial on the radio while the trial's going on. It was at least in the movie, and so all of a sudden, there's this radio guy who says, "Well, here we are in the courtroom." And he pulls the microphone, and there's the W in the film. If you see the film, it says WGN.
And that microphone.
On the microphone.
That microphone.
Yeah.
Is around, down the hallway.
No.
And around.
From the movie?
Wait a minute. You didn't know that in the old building? You didn't see that?
I did not know that. That is
we have
weird.
A trophy display case that has a lot of the, you know, state of Illinois, best radio station,
right?
But whatever. And at the very top is the microphone.
From Inherit the Wind?
If I'm not mistaken, and Aubrey, who's worked here a lot longer than all of us combined, could probably tell you if that's the prop mic that was used in the movie, or if that's the actual mic that was used in the original broadcast.
I'll have to look when I leave tonight.
Yeah,
or
it's
morning.
In the green room, which actually isn't green.
Oh, wow, that is very cool. So tonight, I have a chance to see both my favorite Star Trek chair and the microphone with WGN call letters from Inherit the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me
calm down.
Wait, I have to.
You know,
I have to write this day down.
Yeah.
What is this? What is the today? June 30th.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down.
You got to.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome
Look
stuff.
At you.
Awesome stuff. 1:45 in the AM. I'm Elton Jim Toronto, filling in for Matt Bubala this morning. As I said, 312-981-7200 is the text as well as the phone number. We've got lots on the dock. I've got a whole list here, and I haven't even gotten to any of it yet, but who cares? We've got a lot of time, so just hang in there. Have your favorite beverage. Lay on the couch. Just turn a slight light on so you don't totally fall asleep. And I'll make sure to talk extra fast and extra loud to keep you awake. It's 1:45. I'm Elton Jim. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, filling in for Matt Bubala this morning. Be here till 5 a.m. It's about 1:49 in the morning. And as I said before, I wanted to talk a little bit about a trend I saw that I think is going to certainly make its way to the Chicago area as well as around the country. It's already, from what I understand, it's already in a few cities. Definitely was in California and in the Santa Monica and Los Angeles area. I was there for a couple of days recently, just early this week, in fact. And I was surprised to see, you know, as I said to Patty when I was talking to her during the crosstalk that we do, when one show ends and the other one begins, that, you know, we had always seen the Segway. Remember the Segway? And for those of you who remember, about 15, 20 years ago, maybe 15, I can't remember now exactly, but there were rumors. This is when the first tech bubble was beginning to, the first tech boom was beginning to really take hold in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I'm not sure who invented it, but there was some, you know, big high-tech wizard, at least of that day. And there were rumors that this person had invented a personal transportation, technology that was going to revolutionize how people moved around. I mean, that was the way it was being sold. And based on this this person's reputation, as well as the potential of what this could mean, and we were all excited about new technologies, as which we are today, but especially, you know, 20 years ago or so when this all was really taking place and the internet was just beginning and all of a sudden people were really recognizing and embracing technology and it was moving so fast. So there was this big announcement, all these rumors, and all these high-profile people were just, you know, fighting each other to invest in this company and in this product because it was going to change the way people transported themselves around. I mean, that was the way it was being sold. And so it was, you know, around for a couple of, at least for 6 months, if not a year. This was coming, it was coming, it was coming. And then it was finally unveiled and introduced as the Segway. And yeah, it was pretty cool. And then if you've seen a Segway, you may have been on it. In fact, I don't know if they still do the tours. I mean, there's a lot of cities, and I know in Chicago, there certainly have been, there were Segway tours that, because I remember one of the meeting spots, or at least one of the spots that they would come on their little Segway tours was right in front of WGN at the old Showcase studio there. So I remember being on the afternoon show, and they would be zipping by, people with their helmets and their Segways, and they would be pointing. So I know those were happening at one point. I don't know. I don't see them as much anymore. I'm not sure if those tours even take place, and here's the reason why. That Segway was kind of cool, but it certainly was not revolutionary, and it turned out not to change the way that the average person moved around. It was kind of a niche product. It wasn't as simple. It was very intuitive. If you've ever been on one, you know you move forward and backward. And after a couple of times, you get the feel of it. It's more intuitive. It's an interesting mode of transportation. But it certainly was not revolutionary. It became kind of a niche thing. And as I said, it was probably used mostly by people who were, you know, tourists. And companies were using them for that. And when you think about it, most likely the person who invented this thing was probably, like most high-tech people, somebody in Silicon Valley on the West Coast, where, yeah, you could use a Segway for personal transportation on streets and things like that 12 months a year in California or on the West Coast in a temperate kind of climate. But if you live in Chicago or anywhere on the East Coast or in Denver or anywhere in the Midwest, you know, it's impractical. It's a 6 month you know, kind of thing. You're not going to use your Segway in the winter when it's freezing cold. You're not going to use your Segway on unshoveled streets filled with snow. So right from its inception, it seemed like it was thought of without really thinking about the bigger picture of, can all people use this? Yeah, certainly you can use the Segway in the summer, but in Chicago, you're not going to use a Segway on the sidewalks when there's potentially snow or below zero wind chill factors. So the Segway had its place, and maybe still does, but it certainly was not the revolution everybody was as it was being touted to be. But anyway, you still see them around if you go, you know, especially in the summer, especially in places like, you know, around the beach where there are places where people are running and bicycling, you would see Segways up and down. So I had not been to the Santa Monica area in at least 2 or 3 or 4 years maybe. And so first day there, we go to the beach and I see these scooters. And first, I don't see anybody. I'm not really paying attention, and I see these scooters just on the side of the sidewalks, and they're haphazard. There's no rack. There wasn't like a bike rack, you know, the divvy bikes that you see around the city and in the suburbs. They weren't in any kind of, you know, order. They were just there, standing. But then all of a sudden, as we're walking sort of on the sidewalk that runs parallel to the beach, all of a sudden, I'm looking around, and there's these people on these electric scooters, and they're zipping by, left and right, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And suddenly I'm looking around and everybody's on them. In fact, they're so prevalent now that this is a pretty wide sidewalk that runs along the Santa Monica Beach that runs up toward the Santa Monica Pier. And you've probably seen the Santa Monica Pier, a picture of that if you've never been there. It's got the big Ferris wheel and the roller coaster out on the pier. It's in a lot of commercials and things like that. And instead of usually, if you remember back in the old days, a sidewalk was for people to walk, and on the fringes of the sidewalk, those were the bike lanes. Well, in California, because everybody's running or cycling or rollerblading, if you're walking, you're in the minority. And so on this main sidewalk now, instead of the middle section being for pedestrians to walk, the walkers are relegated to a small little lane on either the right side or the left side of the sidewalk, and the majority of the middle is all for people either running or rollerblading or on these scooters or on you name it, but not walking. To the point, there's some points where you couldn't even walk side by side. You had to walk single file. And I'm like, hey, gang, I mean, I need some space here, too. And these scooters are flying around. And so I'm sitting there going, wow, when did this start? So the funny thing is, we're there for a couple of days. And I mean, and then we're driving around, and people are riding these scooters on the street in the bike lanes. And they go pretty fast. I don't know what their miles per hour thing, but they certainly are going. They're keeping up with traffic, you know, probably 25, 30 miles an hour, and they're all electric. So I guess the big upside on these are from an environmental standpoint. No emissions. It's electric. They're easy to use. And everybody is just zipping around. Now, the other side of the coin is that's the problem. Everybody is zipping around. And it's kind of like Dodge City. There's no rules here. Everybody's just kind of zipping around. Oh, my gosh. You know, you, God forbid you swing your arm left or right, you might punch somebody. I mean, they're coming that close. And nobody's wearing a helmet on these things. So I think now this is the way that we unfortunately do things now in this country. There used to be a time when we actually cared about safety. Or we cared about regulations and like how things would work in the real world. Now it seems we test things out in the public. And then when something goes wrong, then we make a law about it. Before, we used to have things that were tested before they got to the public so that people wouldn't get hurt. But now it seems that everywhere we're in such a rush to get the newest thing out there that, you know, we just throw stuff out there and then we'll see what happens. And so someone got hit? Well, then maybe we had to start to have some rules and some ordinances about these scooters. And so I did a little little research on this. And after the news, I will we'll talk about what's going on with these scooters, but my goodness, the segue, I didn't see one segue in California. Everybody was on these electric scooters, and what I understand, they are already in Austin, Texas, another kind of very millennial, hipster kind of town, as well as San Francisco. So I would assume within the next year or so, we are going to see these scooters come around in Chicago. So I thought we could talk a little bit about this.
Actually, Jim, I did a story last week about those.
Oh, really?
For Chicago, yes.
Now, not the dockless bikes. I'm talking about scooters, right?
The dockless bikes.
Right. That's different than this.
Okay.
This is a scooter. This is literally a scooter. This is not a bike.
Okay.
This is a scooter. And I've got that story, Roger.
Look at you. That's why you're the man behind
right.
the mic.
That is exactly correct. And that's why you are the man who does the news. But before I introduce you, let me just say that the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 2 a.m. You heard that buzzer? That can only mean one thing. It's time for the news. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, 720 a.m. in Chicago, broadcasting from the new studios at 303 Wacker Drive.
The Allstate Skyline Studio.
Oh, does this have a name?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
It's the
Allstate Skyline Studio.
Skyline Pigeon.
Yeah. If you're standing outside the building and you're craning your head upwards.
Yeah.
And you could see Jim Toronto's reflection in the window.
Oh, phew. I thought I'd know what you're going to say. You said you could say Jim Toronto's, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Although I got to tell you, they have a very strange, you know, they've got monitors in here.
Right, right.
And there's three different views of the host.
Right. One from the side.
One from the front, and one from the back.
Yes.
That's an interesting
Did you
view.
Get a haircut recently?
Yeah, no, I'm actually kind of liking it. I got to tell the woman that cuts my hair, nice job by the neckline.
There you go.
Very straight. You never know about the back.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't unless you really make it. But I'm sitting there going, not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she did
an excellent coif.
Pretty good job. But, and so did you say you're official? Yeah, I came back officially, right? Yeah. So what did you say? This is the Skyline?
The Allstate Skyline Studios.
The Allstate Skyline Studios.
That's right.
Now, from what I understand, this studio that we're in is not actually going to be the permanent main studio. They are actually fixing or preparing.
They're installing. Right.
A new one.
Right. Well,
so
you
now,
are in
this one,
D.
Right. So my point is, will the Allstate Skyline Studio name then move to another studio?
I think both of them
will this be.
I think both will be.
So it's like one big studio.
Well, it's two studios. It depends on which one you're in.
I'm not a rabble rouser.
Well, that's why your microphone flag says Allstate on it.
Right.
And
I understand that, but I think each studio should have his own name. I mean, I see. Yeah, I mean, you have two kids.
Well, who are you going to sell the naming rights to the other studio?
How many children do you have, Roger?
I've got two.
Okay, do you call them the same name? My point is, you gave them an individual name, correct?
Only for legal documents.
Right, so my point is... that we have to come up with another name.
Okay, what do you want to name it?
I don't know, but I'm just saying. I mean, guys, I feel sorry for this studio now. Because this studio...
Oh, that's right. They're ripping the name out from underneath
it. Yeah, they're going to go give it to the other guy. The other cool studio gets the cool name, and this is just going to be D.
Right.
Right now, it's the Allstate Skyline Studio. Until the other one gets done, and it's just going to be D. How would you like that? Well, what if you've been called Roger for how many years, and suddenly someone goes, hello, F. And you go, well, my name's Roger. Well,
Not anymore. Somebody else has that name.
Yeah, we gave that name to the new guy.
Yeah.
We're just going to call you F.
Okay.
Poor Studio D.
Yeah, I know.
Not fair.
No, I don't think at all. I think it's starting to get upset.
In fact, you know what? I mean, now that you say that, give me a second here.
Uh-oh.
I think it's time for a little spritz.
Oh, spritz.
There you go, because it was starting to feel a little stale in here. Poor D was going to...
I know.
In fact, I just looked around the studio, and they looked at me and said, what do you mean they're going to change my name? You mean I'm not going to be the main... No one told this studio.
No, it's having an identity crisis.
Yeah, this studio thought it was, hey, everybody's coming in here. This studio's
right.
Like, hey, look at me.
We're just using it.
Nobody ever told the studio that it's just here until the other guy comes in.
Yeah, we're just going to toss it aside like yesterday's garbage.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Anywho. So let me...
Scooters.
Yeah, scooters. In fact, and to help me talk about scooters... I have somebody that comes on the show with me quite a bit, a good friend of mine, a radio veteran, Mick Kaler, and so I'm just going to bring Mick on. He was going to talk about some other stuff, but I always like talking to Mick anyway. So let's see, is he on? Could you put him on there? Is he there? Hit the little button, or should I hit the little button?
I think you might have to hit the little button.
This happened yesterday with one of my callers, too.
Well, you don't want to lose Mick.
Okay.
Mick's cool.
And Mick, are you there?
I'm right here.
There he is. So we were going to do your official pop culture segment, but I figured we were going to have you on here too. Roger is has potty mouth. I'm not potty, but you know, not potty mouth. But I don't want to say the D word on the radio. But I mean, let's just say Roger's been just a little verbose tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. So my schedule has been pushed way back.
It happens.
Yeah. So so I thought we just. I mean, if you you're up, right, Mick?
Yeah, right here.
So what's the difference? So join the club. Mick, this is Roger.
Hey, Roger. How you been?
Yeah. Doing good, buddy.
So what I was talking about, Mick, I don't know if you, I doubt if you were listening, but if you by chance were, I was talking about this this new trend that's going on in Los Angeles. Everybody has these electric scooters that are just on, they just line the streets. You just get on and get off wherever you want, and they are everywhere, and I'm assuming they're going to come to Chicago. So my question to you, Mick, did you ever ride the Segway?
No, I never did.
Yeah, well, I think those things are obsolete because those things were always big in California, but now everybody is driving these scooters. And it's very...
Okay, now, when you say that they're all over the place, everybody owns their own, or
No, no, you rent them. So you're walking down the street, and there's a scooter just sitting there.
Oh.
And if you say, you know what, I don't feel like walking right now, then you take out your phone with your little app, and it's got a barcode on it, and you hit the barcode, and it's 15, I think it's 15 cents a mile, or a minute, no, 15 cents a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could drive wherever you want, and then when you're done, you just pull it over, get off, and you're done. And then someone else walks by and picks it up, and they take it somewhere.
Okay, so that's a little different than in Chicago. We've got those bikes you can get everywhere.
Right. The Divvy bike. There's no racks, and everybody is zipping around, at least in Santa Monica, to the point now where I was doing. So I saw this. So I saw all these things sitting on the side, and everybody's driving around. So I see this guy, standing next to it, and then he goes to one, and then he goes to another one. And then he goes to another one. So I'm walking around. I said, well, geez, I wonder, maybe he's maybe he works for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cataloging these things or something, right? Because they're just sitting on the side of the street anywhere.
Yeah.
Just haphazard. So I walk up to this guy, and he's in his 20s and kind of a L.A. hipster, you know. And so I walk up to him, and I said, are you the scooter guy? And he goes, the scooter guy? And I go, well, I said, look, I'm from Chicago. We don't have these things here. I said, what is this? He said, no. He said, I'm using this. I said, well, what are you doing? So he showed me how it worked. I said, well, why did you go to two or three of them? He says, well, the barcode wasn't working on those on my phone, so I just kept trying the next scooter. And
He wants to find one that he can use.
Yeah, so then he hits the barcode, it worked, and off he went.
Wow.
And there's to a point where there's, like, as I said earlier, the main, now on the main sidewalks, it's taken up by these scooters where if the pedestrians, there's a pedestrian lane now. The main sidewalk is not for people to walk.
Huh, okay.
The pedestrians are relegated to the side of the sidewalk, and everybody's zipping around on these scooters, and I guess they're environmentally safe, and they are easy to use. Because maybe those Segways, too. I never rode one either, but they seem to be intuitive. Like, didn't you have to lean into them? Or
You got to go certain ways. I've seen them in Chicago, down by...
Downtown they used to have all these Segways.
Right, and you got to lean a certain way, and you have to angle it, and it looks like it's a little more difficult to operate. You're right.
Yeah, but these things, you jump on, and it's for one person, and you zip along. And those things were going by pretty fast, so I was very intrigued by these, and when I came home, I looked it up, and in fact, apparently these things in Santa Monica are causing a little problem, because there's two companies that are fighting for the market share. There's one called Bird, another one called Lime, and so these things are, they just put them out anywhere along the streets in heavily, congregated and populated areas where people are, tourists, or like I said, well, especially along the beach in Santa Monica by the pier, and so now people, it's kind of like Dodge City, because there's no rules.
Oh, wow, okay.
There's no rules on this. So people are flying by. Nobody's wearing helmets. There's no traffic rules for these guys, like with cyclists. And so apparently now I'm reading something that these are becoming a nuisance in Santa Monica. And I guess now they are going to be cutting down. They're going to do kind of a 16-month pilot program just to see how they can rein this in and start to bring in some regulations so that it's not just haphazard. Because right now, like I said, you're just walking down the street and all of a sudden someone just jumps on a scooter, hits their phone, and zip, they're off. And a couple of times I'm walking, and if I put my arm out, because the guy's trying to pass me.
Right.
But if I'm walking and swinging my arm, I could have punched the guy in the face.
No kidding.
Because they're just zipping around. So, and I guess they're already in San Francisco and in Austin, Texas. And so they are causing a little bit of a stir there because, as I said, right now, there's really no safety things involved. I mean, don't forget, nobody's wearing any kind of, it's just a scooter. You could fall off of this thing, you know, just as easy like you could on a motorcycle.
Well, the thing I'm wondering when you're talking about the safety is, I'm wondering if there's liability if, like you said, like let's say all of a sudden you just kind of moved a little bit on the sidewalk and somebody ran, you know, in a scooter rammed you and they had an accident. What happens then?
Yeah, well, that's my point. So I think now, I mean, as I said earlier, you know, there used to be a time in this country when we would test things, we would make sure they were safe, and then we would introduce them into the public arena.
Right.
But nowadays, within the tech world, you know, that's not the way, you know, tech companies release technologies. They put out the new, the newest iPhone or smartphone, and they know it doesn't work completely. But it's a beta test, and they say, okay, let's see, when people start using it, we'll see where the kinks are, and then we'll put out a fix for that, or and that's the way tech companies work. It's never really fully baked.
Right.
But, you know, when you're talking about public safety, you have to have things that are baked. You can't just put out, haphazard things. So it looks like, you know, once again, out in the West Coast, everybody's just kind of like, hey, cool, man. And so now these things, they said on a daily basis, there's like 1,500 to 2,000 of these zipping around.
No kidding.
And so I was just reading more. So it costs, so to activate it, it costs $1 right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And then it's 15 cents for every minute that you use it. So you can ride it for 2 miles or all day, wherever you want to take it. But
at some point, doesn't it lose its charge?
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, these are electric scooters. I mean, maybe there's somebody comes by and, who knows how long they can last. That's a good point.
It's like Tesla. They've got certain stations where you juice up your electricity.
Yeah, no,
I wonder what they do with those things.
Yeah, now these things just sit. These things are just, you just tell that people have just left them because it's just haphazard. Now, then the funny thing is, today I'm reading the paper, a couple of days ago I'm reading the paper, and it says Uber to launch electric jump bikes in Chicago. But these are bikes. These are electric bikes, so they're kind of like the Divvy bikes, but these are electric bikes. You don't have to pedal them. But they're not scooters. But clearly this electric idea is catching on because you can at least get places a lot faster.
Right.
As opposed to a bicycle. I mean, this thing was, like I said, these things, and what was kind of scary, these things were driving in the bike lanes on the street with cars. And once again, no helmets. I'm like, well, hey, if a guy on the motorcycle has to wear a helmet, how come the guy on the scooter doesn't?
Right. Now, here's my question. What is the brake? Is it like a hand brake?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you've got one side is to accelerate and one, you know, remember, you know, just on the handlebars, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So, like, I don't know right or left which side does which, but one side accelerates and the other side is the brake.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
well,
so.
I was going to say, the scooter sounds like a real hip thing. Okay, but I'm a little bit older. You're a little older, Jim. I want Rascals. That's what I want, okay? I'm even jealous when I go to the Jewel and sometimes some of the people, you know, get on one of those.
Yeah.
You know, they have their basket there, and they just jump on, and you hear them, you can hear it behind you, like, you know what, someday I'm going to jump on a Rascal, too, and just get around and get my groceries that way.
So it's like you want a Rascal, and then you also want that little thing that you sit on to take you up the stairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Several years ago, my aunt, she passed away now about 15 years ago, but at one point she was having trouble with her legs. She had bad arthritis, and they had these real, you know, they had about a third, like 25 stairs from in their home. Mm-hmm. To get from the, you know, the first floor to the second floor. And so they installed one of those little seats, you know.
Okay, so they get up and down, yeah.
Yeah, so she can go up and down. And so she looked like the Pope. Because, like, you know, as she went up the stair on the side, I told her, like, to wave like the Queen.
Right.
Because the thing would move like two, like it was so slow. And I was like, you look like the Queen up there, you know. Because by the time she got to the top of the stairs, you could run up and down the stairs 25 times.
Oh,
but
God.
But yeah, so I would not be surprised if these scooters come to Chicago sometime soon, because, as I said, just like the westerly winds, everything seems to start on the West Coast and blows toward, you know, the East Coast, and it hits us too. So don't be surprised. As I said, Chicago will be getting these dockless bike shares, these electric bikes, so it sounds the same way, dockless, in that you can ride them, probably get off them, and just leave them where they're at, and someone jumps on and does the same thing. So it's probably the same concept, except one is a bicycle with a seat and handlebars and a basket and the whole thing, mm-hmm. a bike. And these were just these little quick, very small, very sleek, but heavy duty. You could tell that they're made to last because they're getting a lot of use.
Yeah.
Scooters, but man, people were riding these things left and right, and they were flying, as I said, even keeping up with traffic.
Wow.
I mean, there's actually a scooter lane.
Well, my other concern would be, depending on what part of the city you're in, what if you get scooter jacked?
Well, I mean, I saw the scooter lane. I mean, I always thought scooter lane was like a good name for a band.
Sure, exactly. Well, that was my name when I was a hipster. When I was in the 50s. I was known as Scooter Lane. That was my name.
Yeah, Scooter Lane. Hello, everybody. Scooter Lane here, Lollapalooza. Is it hot out there? Is it hot out there? Ladies and gentlemen, Scooter Lane. Thank you. We are Scooter Lane. Good night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so don't be surprised if you see some of these scooters. I don't know if they're going to be the exact kind. I don't know, once again, as I said before, but the Segway, you really couldn't, I mean, it wasn't a revolutionary kind of thing, because in Chicago, you can't use a Segway with 10 inches of snow that hasn't shoveled.
Right. The one thing I was going to say about the Segways, I have seen them around, like, the Petrillo Band Shell and other places when people go on little tours, and they actually have a little, they go on groups, and they get, like, a little tutorial on how to work it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, because, like I said, when we used to be at the Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in the afternoon, we'd see those things zipping by all the time. In fact, I think the Tribune may have been even one right by our building, probably at the Tribune Tower, may have been a meeting spot, because that seemed like they were all kind of hovering.
And yeah, and you see, like, little groups of people, and because I'd seen that before when I'd been downtown by the Art Institute, and you would see, like, a whole group, and it was almost like a lesson, like, okay, you lean this way, you lean that way, but your situation is, you know, the situation out there in Santa Monica, that's just like, hey, just grab one and go.
Just jump on a scooter and go. So if you see Scooter Lane, if he's not at Lollapalooza, you'll have a Scooter Lane in Chicago very soon.
Scooter Lane was also the brother of Penny Lane, right?
Oh, hi-o! The Lanes. The Liverpool Lanes. Scooter,
there you go.
Scooter and Penny. Scooter and Penny. Jim Toronto filling in for Matt Bubala this morning. I'll be here till 5 a.m. Stick with us. We'll be back right after this. No switching. Watch Navy Pier's Independence Day display live as fireworks light up Chicago's lakefront. Chicago's Summer Blast, a WGN-TV special, on July 4th at 9:30. It is 2:29 here at WGN. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Matt Bubala this morning. Be here till 5 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show thus far, and we've still got 2.5 hours to go. I'm going to be here. So where are you at? I mean, I'm going to be here till 5. So I would, if you're being polite, you will be with me until 5 a.m. I would appreciate if you stay. And if you want to contribute, by all means, 312-981-7200 is the phone number and the text number. So if you want to get in touch either way, we're multi-platform, if you will. I think that's what the youngsters say, right, Jessica? Multi-platform? Is that what we are right now? Are we multi-platform?
Of course they can call in.
But we're multi-platform.
Yes.
Right. It's not just one thing. They could call in, they could text, they can mind meld.
We like calls. I like calls.
You like calls? Well, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, the technology thing has really hurt radio in that now more people text as opposed to call in. And on a radio show, you like to have people call in because you have the ability to not only hear their voice, but you have the ability to talk to them and engage. And then who knows what happens? Whereas in a text, it's just kind of like you said your piece and you're done. And I don't have a chance to ask you a question. And who knows, you know, where the conversation can go. So by all means, use those phone lines. If anybody else in the house is sleeping, just go to another room or just kind of talk low. But 312-981-7200. It'll just be you and me. No one else will hear. Don't worry about it. At least that's what they're telling me, according to the ratings. It is 2:31. My name is Jim Toronto, and this guy's name is Roger Badish. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, 7:20 a.m. in Chicago. Filling in for Matt Babawa this morning. Be here till 5 a.m. Let's take a quick phone call here. We've got Carl on the phone. Hello there, Carl. Are you there, Carl? Is Carl there? Carl? No, Carl? Yes, Carl?
Sorry.
Are you there, Carl?
Yes.
Hey, here he is. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, cool. Great. I love the show. I wanted to call and tell you, I work in Milwaukee a couple days a week, and I'm actually driving home tonight from Milwaukee. I live in the north suburbs. Yesterday, I worked at a restaurant, and I look outside the onto the sidewalk, and one of those scooters is sitting there.
Oh,
yep,
really?
They have them in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. Wow. Okay.
And it was just sitting there, and it was weird. It was, you know, right around dinner time. I'm like, you know, it's just sitting there. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So I asked one of the staff up there, and they're like, yeah, these are dockless scooters. Apparently, there's some legality issues. I'm not exactly sure, but those things are way too fast for a sidewalk.
Oh, I'll tell you. Believe me. I was walking down the street and this guy zipped right past me. I could feel the wind, and I'm not exaggerating. I could feel the wind of him zip past me. And I had no idea he was behind me. If I would have stuck my arm out just as I was walking, I would have nailed him.
You would have been nailed.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was looking, and then a group of guys on them, like three or four people came by, and I'd never seen them before, but just whipping up and down the sidewalk. I'm like, this crazy. This is never going to fly.
Yeah, I mean,
no helmet.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw them in California on the street with right next to cars with no helmet. I mean, they're even more exposed than somebody on a motorcycle because most of these guys that were on these things were young kids. They were just in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, death wish. It's not going to work. I mean, it might be a great idea for ecology and people moving, but I just don't see it happening. So I just want to call and let you know they already are in Milwaukee, but they're not doing very well.
Yeah, no,
so
very
have
good.
Have a great night.
I appreciate that, Carl. Good to know. So our friends up north are already electric scootering. Interesting. Thanks
right
a lot.
On.
Thanks a lot, pal.
Thank you.
Take care. Let's see. Who else we got here? Mick, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Just hang in, and if you want to jump in, by all means do.
Sure.
Who do we got here? Is Scott. Scott's on the line. How you doing there, Scotty?
Mick, are you still there?
Good to hear you tonight, Jim.
Hey, good to hear you.
What is your schedule for next week, then?
I will be on 4th of July, 5th of July, and 6th of July right at this time from 1 a.m. till 5.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So okay. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning.
I have nothing to say about scooters. I hope you don't mind.
You have nothing to say about Scooter Lane, who is Penny Lane's... Mick, is Scooter Lane Penny Lane's brother?
Yep, absolutely.
I have no Lane or Scooter talk.
Okay.
I was wondering if we could delve a little bit into just a little talk about Elton John.
Oh, certainly.
I'm a huge Elton John fan.
Oh, thank
I know you.
You
are.
Yes.
How many times do you think you're going to see him on this final tour?
Well, I have seen him now 177 times. I just saw the last...
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
I saw him the last three shows in Vegas when he ended up his his latest residency there for the Million Dollar Piano.
In one of those shows, you hurt his hand. I
yes,
know that.
I did. Okay, very good. Yeah, I almost broke Elton John's finger, so that would have been a nice story. I almost was responsible. You know, Scott is talking about this farewell tour. I almost ended the farewell tour before it started. I almost broke his finger.
Before it even started.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
you would have killed all the money Elton was going to make.
Oh yeah, I mean, just a quick story. They let you up on stage in Vegas for one song, "Saturday Night Sorry for Fighting," right toward the end, and I was right up next to Elton. And during one of the musical breaks, he gives a high fives to people. So he sticks his, you know, I stick my hand out, and he puts his hand there. And I don't know, I must have, instead of giving a high five, I kind of grabbed his hand, and all of a sudden he goes, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating, because he screamed. He goes, "Ouch." And he looks at me, and he gives me this look, and he recognizes me at this point. So I think he sort of realized, okay, I'm being kind of a baby. But I was so, and I said, I'm sorry, because the way he reacted, and the people around me were like, "What did you do to him?" And I'm like, "I didn't do anything." But then I was so paranoid, so that song is over, and he comes out for one more song, and I'm up at the lip of the stage, and we're off the stage. And now I'm looking at his hand, and I'm like, as he's playing Circle of Life, I'm like, is he wincing? Did I break his pinky? is the tour over? All night I was online praying that there wasn't an announcement that Elton John breaks his finger and his farewell tour will be delayed 4 months. I was like, oh my God. So I know that I'm going to, my goal has always been to hopefully at least see him 200 times. So over the next, this tour is supposed to end in 2021. So my goal, hopefully, over the next two or three years, would be to hopefully see him another 20 some times and see him I know he's going to keep coming back to the United States because that's where he's most popular, and he'll hit all 50 states a couple of times. He's coming to Chicago in October, and he's coming back again in February, and I'm planning to see him in a few more cities. So ultimately, on this, if you're talking about the tour just this year, I'll probably see him 4 or 5 times, but if you're talking about the entire farewell tour, which is supposed to be about 3 years, my goal would hopefully, within those 3 years, to see him about 23 times and hit 200.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That's a good goal. Yeah. I think that's kind of cool. Do you know, are all the tour dates set, or are there going to be more?
No, they're still, in fact, they've announced tour dates through the summer of 2019. But you know, okay, he's going to go around the world. He's going to, coming. He's going to come back to the United States on and off. But he's going to do, the Far East. He's going to do, I'm sure, South. You know, the Southern Hemisphere. He's going to. I know he's doing Europe in the summer. He's going to do Australia in the winter of 2019. So believe me, they're going to Elton and his organization are certainly making one big money grab here. They're trying for the whole shebang. They're trying for, Kennedy money. This is generational money he's trying to make. One time around the world, and really set up his kids and his kids' kids and his kids' kids' kids. They want some Hearst money. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell just by the price of the tickets.
Yeah, they are very high. I have to give his organization credit because they've actually created a demand for something that really probably there was no great demand for that you would think about.
Oh, it was a very smart move.
Yeah. He's taken some hits about it. And as I said, he's not going to quit performing. He is just going to stop these big, long, 6 month, 3 month kind of tours where he's on the road for extended periods of time. My guess is, health willing, that if he finishes the tour in good health in a couple, 3 years, that he'll probably do another residency where he does, maybe 30 or 40 shows a year in Las Vegas, or maybe he'll do something in London, or maybe he'll do something in New York, where he won't have to travel. He could just be in one spot and perform. Because when he gets finished, he'll be almost 75 years old, and I don't care how good shape you're in. You're 75.
You're 75.
Yeah, so, 75 is still 75, so we'll see. But I'm looking forward to it, and it's kind of sad because I've been to so many shows, and it has been a major part of my life. But, everything comes to an end, so it will be
absolutely
interesting.
Well, I have seen him 45 times in 10
Well, good
10
for you.
States.
Look at you.
So I have been around.
Just don't talk about me. 45, that's a good number. Be proud of that.
Yeah, so I'll probably see him two or three times on this final go round as it is. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, no, very good.
Just a quick funny story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you attended, I think it was like in 1982, Elton did a concert on July 4th underneath the arch in St. Louis.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah, I didn't go
to it. It was a free show, but it was blistering hot because it's St. Louis. Well, yeah. My brother and I went to it, and we got there at 7 in the morning, and we were like 10 feet from the stage.
Nice.
The opening group was Quarter Flash.
Yes, I remember that tour.
Then, towards the evening, that's when Elton came out. But throughout the day, I mean, you got two people, we had a blanket, and you have to take bathroom breaks. So one of us would go, and the other one would stay there to guard our blanket, and then, you know, vice versa. Well, my brother left. He came back, 20 minutes later, and he said, "That's really crazy." I said, "What are you talking about?" But there was he walked down the promenade to get to the Port-a-Johns, and he on the way back, he saw a group of, like, six policemen walking down it. And he said, "One of them looked like Elton John." I said, "Oh, you've got to be kidding." Well, next day in the St. Louis paper, they had a picture of Elton John in a police uniform, and that's how they walked him in into the behind the stage area.
Oh, is that funny?
He walked right by him.
Oh, my gosh. And the funny thing is, Elton gave him a ticket. He gave him a loitering ticket. How funny. There are so many stories of people in disguises, and I'm sure Elton, of course, if he was wearing a police outfit, I'm sure it was leather with a little
it was like a regular St. Louis cop.
I think I've seen a picture of that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll see you on the road. Are you from the Chicago area?
I used to live in Chicago. I live in Madison, Wisconsin now, but I still go to a lot of concerts in Chicago.
Well, I will be February. I will be February 19th, 2019. I will be in Milwaukee.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll see you there.
That's at the new arena out there, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing something there. They're advertising it all over the place up there. So.
Well, very good, Scott. Okay. 45. Good for you. Good to talk to an Elton fan.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for staying up.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Take care.
You know, it's funny, Jim, you mentioned that about how Elton and his people have created this demand, with the higher ticket prices and everything else. And I hate to get morbid, but I really think with all the deaths of the last few years of Bowie, Prince, Glenn Frey, Tom Petty, people are realizing, I got to see these guys before they die.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's reality. And, I mean, I think, the only thing that I think is really not fair is that, this is billed as a farewell tour, which is great. But like, for instance, here in Chicago, when the initial tickets went on sale, I mean, they sold out 80 cities within 2 hours. They didn't even expect that. But here's the thing. So they announced two shows here in October at the United Center. And then a couple of weeks later, they announced two more shows at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont in February. So now if I bought tickets to the final Elton John tour, and I wasn't a goofy fan like me who was going to go to multiple cities and see multiple shows, if I was just somebody who wants to see Elton John for one last time, and I'm like, hey, I want to see him the final time he plays in Chicago, and I bought tickets for the October shows, well, suddenly, 4 months later, he's playing again in Chicago.
Right.
And I guarantee you that before this tour ends, he will be here again at least once, if not twice. He's going to hit those major cities again because, that's where the demand is and that's where people can pay $200 or $300 a seat to go to those shows. So that's the only thing that I feel is a little unfair. If you're going to say it's the final tour and you bill it that way and you sell the tickets, then you shouldn't keep adding multiple shows 6 months later in the same city, because if I bought tickets to that October show, I expected that to be the last time Elton John played in Chicago.
Yeah, it is kind of like a misleading, I guess you'd say, promise or advertisement. Yeah. But then again, look at The Who. Look at how many farewell tours they've had.
Yeah, I have so many ticket stubs from farewell Who tours. I can't even tell you how many times.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, think about it. There was definitely the one in like 82. I had tickets to that.
Then there was 89.
Then there was 89. I had tickets to that. I've seen the Who break up more times than than Zsa Zsa Gabor had marriages.
They're like Ross and Rachel, you know?
Yeah. It's like, and the best part is they're still playing.
Yeah, they're exactly.
I mean, they still haven't broken up.
Right.
And now there's like, you know, there's only the two of them left of the originals, and they're still playing. And
well, that's why they call them now the Two instead of the Who.
Exactly. In fact, Roger Daltrey was just in town at Ravinia last week. He played two shows, and he did Tommy live with the Ravinia Orchestra. In fact, if you went to those shows, or if you're still going to any shows in the next couple of weeks, pick up the Ravinia magazine, because I wrote a story about Roger Daltrey and Tommy that is in the Ravinia magazine.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So pick that up. In fact, I wrote another one that should be in probably sometime. It's about 80s music, kind of a review of 80s music in conjunction with a Culture Club show with the B-52s, I think, in late August. So there's another story. So if you go to Ravinia, pick up the magazine, look for my my stories, because they should be there. I was really happy with the Daltrey one. I was hoping to interview him. We were supposed to. It never came. So I had to fill it in with some other stuff. But I was really happy with the story, because that's one of my favorite albums. Everybody's talking about Quadrophenia. It's gotten a lot more publicity the last several years. Townsend seems to like Quadrophenia more than Tommy, but I still like Tommy.
Oh, I do too. I think Quadrophenia is still my favorite.
Oh, really?
Obviously, without Tommy, there would not have been a Quadrophenia.
Oh, so you like Quadrophenia more than Tommy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
I
know they both had the movies and all that kind of thing, but musically, I just tend more to Quadrophenia. But again, I love them both. It's like not like I'm saying Tommy's a bad record, you know?
Yeah, no, in my holy trinity, in terms of especially the British bands of, you know, the rock era, I most people say, you know, Beatles, Stones, Who. And a very close fourth is the Kinks, I would say.
Right.
But I put it Beatles, Who, Stones.
I do too. I always have.
I think Pete Townsend is just so talented musically, lyrically, love the music. And, you know, Daltrey has the classic rock and roll voice. You know, Entwistle redefined how to play the bass. And Keith Moon wasn't even a very good drummer, but he was a great drummer for The Who.
Yeah, exactly. It fit perfectly.
Yeah, so I'm much more of a much bigger Who fan than I am. I love the Rolling Stones, don't get me wrong. But if I had to pick between the two, I'm a huge, huge Who fan. Well, you stick, if you have time, Mick, you have anything to do or no?
Where else am I going
to
go?
Okay, very good, because I still want to talk to you about some topics that we actually were going to talk about, but it's always fun to talk, so I appreciate your time and you staying up with me. And you listeners, I appreciate your time and you staying up with me as well. I'll be here till 5 o'clock. Jim Toronto filling in for Mac Bubala. It's about 2:53. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. No switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Mac Bubala this morning. Be here till 5 a.m. And then we hand it off to Orion Samuelson. Hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to Orion. It's been quite a few years where I had a chance to talk to the Big O, so hopefully I will get a chance to do that. But if not, certainly stay tuned. After I'm done at 5, Orion will be on, I believe, with Max Armstrong. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, let's get a quick phone call here before we have to break for news. Is that Bill?
Yes, sir, it is. How are you?
How you doing?
Not bad.
Good.
You're talking about Elton, you know, and his age and maybe passing away, which I hope doesn't happen for quite a long time. That's the reason I'm going to go see ELO and Phil Collins when they're in town.
Very nice. Yeah, those are two great shows. I tell you, you know, Phil Collins has gotten, I believe Phil Collins has gotten a very bad rap for some reason. You know, for some reason, about 20 years ago, the South Park guys got on this anti-Phil Collins thing.
Glad I don't watch it then.
Yeah, for some reason they just attacked Phil Collins and became kind of cool to not like Phil Collins. All I have to tell you, folks, everybody talks about Michael Jackson, everybody talks about Prince, everybody talks about, you know, Boy George or Cyndi Lauper or all these, you know, these 80s bands, but If you want to know who really dominated the 80s, it was certainly Phil Collins was right up
there. Yeah, between Genesis and his solo stuff.
Yeah, I mean his solo stuff was huge, and like, as Mick just said, you know, the way he sort of brought Genesis into a more commercial mainstream you know, music, as opposed to the more experimental progressive band that Genesis was in the late 60s, early 70s with Peter Gabriel. My gosh.
I can't wait. I'm sorry. I can't wait to see ELO, though. They haven't toured in 35 years.
And they'll actually be able to play all the orchestration now because of, I don't know if they're going to have a live orchestra, but at the very least, you know, how could, back in the day, you know, they'd have to have a 20-piece orchestra to play all those songs. But now with synthesizers and other technology, they can at least reproduce all those orchestral arrangements that made that sound so unique, you know, back in the 70s.
Well, go on YouTube, and last year they played at Hyde Park with like 250,000 people or an insane amount of people, and they sounded amazing.
I was always a big ELO fan. I love orchestration. So I mean that was such a great melding. And of course, Jeff Lynne went on to not only lead ELO, but then went on to be a part of the Traveling Wilburys and worked with George Harrison.
Look at all the producing he did.
That's a big part of what he's been doing. The other thing is, I don't think ELO has gotten all the appreciation for the influence they've had on other bands or other artists that wanted to do that big orchestration stuff.
Yeah, think about Tears for Fears.
Sure.
I
saw them in Milwaukee. They were amazing.
Yeah, they had to have been influenced by ELO with all the orchestrations, like Sowing the Sea of Love, Seeds of Love, and things like that.
Right.
But they sounded better than Hall & Oates, who was the headliner.
Very good. Well, thanks, Bill. I got to run to news, but I have a good time seeing Phil and ELO.
No problem. I see about 35, last 2.5 years, I've seen 37 concerts.
Good for you. Got to go. Live music is the best thing there is, man. Love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Take care, Bill. I'm Jim Toronto, filling in for Matt Bubala. It is about, what time? It is 3 o'clock exactly. A few minutes after. After the news, I will continue to talk to Mick Kaler. I promise we'll talk about the topics that we had initially discussed that we were going to talk about.
I'm getting overtime pay, right?
Yeah, exactly. But right now, let me tell you that the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. For smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Elton Jim Toronto here with you at WGN. Filling in for Matt Bubala this morning. Been on since 1 a.m. and it's about 3:10. So according to my calculations, we've got about another hour and 50 minutes. I hope you will stay with us as we welcome the new day. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I've had a really good time today. Thanks to Jessica producing. She's been doing a nice job. And she's actually been semi-laughing at my jokes. Or at least smiling. Or at least it's a good fake smile. So whatever you're doing, it's helping. Whether you're looking at me and going, who is this guy? I don't know why he's here, and I hope he leaves soon. You're not projecting that hatred toward me.
You're way more funnier than I am, so.
Okay, well, that doesn't take much, Jessica. Hi-oh! No, I'm just joking. Wow, if looks could kill, they probably will. In Games Without Frontiers. So, Mixter, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so now, originally, when I talked about having you come on today to talk, and you were initially supposed to come on at 2 a.m. to talk about this. So now here it is at 3:10, but I did want to talk about a couple of items. And this is something new that I haven't even talked to you about yet. This happened, I just saw this today.
Okay.
So this can actually fall into our pop culture club segment. Usually I do this segment called Pop Culture Club. Now, Mick, can you explain why that is such a unique and cool name?
Well, it's because there used to be a band in the 80s called Culture Club.
Right.
With Boy George. And we talk about pop culture, so we kind of meld Culture Club with Pop Culture Club, and you and I are the only members of the Pop Culture Club.
Exactly, so it's Pop Culture Club. Get it?
That's right, it's our little world.
Even Jessica goes, wow, I didn't get that, and now she's very impressed, right? Or no?
Miffy.
Or do you think it's really stupid, Jessica?
I'm jealous that I'm not part of this club.
Oh, you could be. No, you could be a member. Yeah, I mean, Mick.
I forgot. Dean Richards is a member too.
Yeah, Mick. I don't want to say anything, but who are you to exclude people?
Are there rules?
That's right. And we are all inclusive. We do allow girls in the club too.
Yeah, I mean, girls are icky, but we'll let you in, Jessica. You know?
I feel honored.
Yeah. But so I just saw this news. I believe it just broke today. So, and it's very ironic because it comes on the heels of something I was on last night, and Mick was on, and we were talking about, I was talking to my godson, who is 32 years old, and so I call him my millennial meter. I use him as a meter to find out what's cool and what isn't in terms with millennials, and I also use it as my own meter to find out if I'm still cool.
Sure.
And I don't know how that's working out, but... So I was talking about how I just recently took him to a record store and treated him to some vinyl, and he bought a few albums on my dime, and of course I was a little upset because of all the albums he bought, he didn't buy one Elton or one Bruce Springsteen album, which I thought was a little, but regardless. But we were talking about how, you know, CDs are just vinyl is making a comeback, whatever that means, but everybody is streaming and everybody is, you know, listening to their iPods or listening to Spotify and things like that. I don't know if you heard this, Mick, but they just announced starting July 1st, Best Buy is not selling CDs anymore.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, you can still buy them at Target and you can still buy them at Walmart. But Best Buy, beginning on July 1st, so that's just in a couple of days, no more CDs. They will
not be selling
CDs. Well,
that's so crazy because outside of occasionally ordering something from Amazon, I think Best Buy is the only other place I was buying CDs when I was still buying them, maybe, say, 10 years ago.
I mean, Best Buy, I mean, the collapse of the CD has just been very quick. As I said, there's been this hipster resurrection of vinyl and the whole tactile thing and you know, the album art. But but nowadays, I mean, everybody is so into either watching YouTube or just streaming their music, or as I said before, using these services like Spotify and Pandora, that nobody is buying CDs in the quantities that they used to. It's almost looked at as like a dead format, like the 8-track was, 30 or 40 years ago. But for a play, I mean, and the thing about why this I think is significant is that, to your point, Best Buy, of all the big box stores, for years, Best Buy, for a long time, had the best selection.
Oh, sure. In fact, you're talking about it. I'm thinking, what are they going to do with that big area they used to have just for CDs?
Well, that big area, I don't know the last time you've been to Best Buy, but that big area for CDs has been taken up by other things.
Wow.
And in fact, what was really, I noticed about 3 or 4 years ago where the trend was going, because, as I said before, Best Buy used to have a very good selection, and so within the catalog of each artist, they would have... deep albums. It wasn't just, the most popular albums.
Right, it wasn't just the current stuff,
or the greatest hits albums. They would go deep into every artist's catalog. So it was a good place if you were looking for CDs that were not easy to find. Best Buy usually had them. And I noticed about 4 or 5 years ago that suddenly not only was the entire section shrinking, but when I went into individual artists, it was then suddenly just what I just said, the opposite of it. All it was the most popular albums of an artist and a greatest hits album.
Right.
They stopped ordering deep into the catalog, and that section has been slowly, slowly sinking. Obviously, the video game section has grown, and the technology section has grown in terms of other things like, cell phones and all that stuff. And so, starting July 1st, no more CDs. You could still, as I said, buy them at Target and... at Walmart, and I'm sure at Amazon they will still sell them, but to lose a major retailer like Best Buy is really the first warning shot that the CD is probably on its way out. Now, of course, I'm sure in 30 or 40 years, Jessica's kids are going to go and say, I love CDs.
Yeah, that'll be the resurgence, right?
They're so cool. Look how small they are. And can you believe that people used to actually put these in a machine? Because in 30 or 40 years, I think all of our music is going to basically be in a chip in our head, and we're just going to touch our temple.
Right.
And that's where the fast-forward button's going to be. You're just going to keep hitting your temple and go, I'll go to track 7. Wait. Boom, 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 boom.
all the CDs that I have, should I start saving them now?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Because you should save them because they're going to either be worth some money or they're going to be something that you can donate to a museum and have, say, from the Jessica Raines collection. This was a musical format that was used by primitive people in the early 21st century.
Most of mine are from, like, the early 90s when I was...
Oh, that's... You know what? Yeah. You'll be able to put your kids through college with those.
Oh, yeah. If you got any Nirvana or Smashing Pumpkins, you're set.
Sure.
You know, a few Dave Matthews, maybe, you know. What does a Jessica Raines listen to? What is your musical taste?
Nowadays, pretty much just country, but I like
country.
Good for you.
Mick's a big country fan.
Oh okay. Yeah.
Oh, it was meant to be.
So like what? So what? Like but your '90s ones. What do you have? Like Garth?
Yeah. Like a lot of like pop stuff.
Like what?
Old boy bands, girl bands.
Like what? I mean, like who?
Oh, geez, I have boxes full.
NSYNC, New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, oh, NSYNC, sure. Backstreet Boys, although I guess Backstreet Boys is a band now.
Right. Yeah, but...
Britney Spears.
Britney, sure.
Can't forget about her. A-Team.
Christina Aguilera.
Oh, yeah. You got any Jewel?
Oh, yeah,
oh,
of course.
Jewel, are you kidding?
She was my girl.
She was my girl. Yeah, but it's unbelievable because like we were just talking about this the whole thing because I was saying how, you know, so are you into vinyl?
Yeah, I was raised by my grandparents, so I started getting into like old records. So when I was a kid, I liked the mainstream pop stuff, you know, that people my age were listening to, but I also listened to old stuff. Like I was also into Elvis when I was like 8.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Well, that's cool. So, yeah, so we were just talking yesterday about how the CD, the rise of the CD and how, you know, there's a lot of hipsters now. As I said, my godson, if you're in your 30s or in your 20s, it's cool to, you know, buy vinyl and have this vinyl collection. And as somebody that I said, not a turntable, he called it a vinyl player.
Ooh.
Is that a vinyl player?
I called it a record player.
Yeah, I had to laugh. It's like... you know, the funny thing is, I have no problems with younger people who are into vinyl, even though it's a little pretentious and they're making it sound like they're the ones who discovered it. I got news for you. It's been around a long time, guys. You guys didn't just discover it. And we were way into album art before you were. We got it, you know. But they're glorifying this. And that's fine because, like I said, most of these kids now in their 20s or 30s, they grew up with either the CD or now streaming services. So that whole idea of having an album and putting it on, as much as we looked at it as a burden, they look at it like it's something cool.
Yeah, it's a novel thing. Well, you know, when you're talking about Best Buy and this dropping of the CDs, I keep coming back to thinking about that wonderful documentary. You ever see that documentary about Tower Records?
Yeah, that was Tom Hanks' kid that did that.
Yeah.
Colin Hanks.
And that tells just an amazing story about, you know, not just a section of a store, but literally an entire chain that just went, you know, by the wayside.
Yeah, I'm still surprised. One of our, I would say, too, you're included in this, even though you didn't live as close to it as I did, but I'm really surprised that there's a record store that is called Rolling Stone Records at the Harlem Irving Plaza on the Northwest Side. I used to live there in my teens and 20s and even early 30s. I mean, I was at Rolling Stone every week. They used to have this bin right in the front with albums for $4.99, which was awesome.
Yeah, remember that? You try to find the... Yeah. A lot of times they were the new releases,
yeah.
And you catch one of those. Yeah,
yeah, it was great. But they're still open.
They're still doing it, you're right.
They have weathered the storm of the ups and downs of the record store, and good for them. But as I said, I still want to always, you know, whenever I get a chance to say this publicly, I do, because, as I said, I find it interesting. I have no problems with younger people being into vinyl and wanting to experience that. But what I also find funny is people in their 50s and 60s and even 70s saying how great vinyl is, and they're extolling all its virtues and making it sound like, you know, we were the ones who invented vinyl, or it was so important to us, and it's so great that the young people are rediscovering vinyl and everything. And the great irony is, it was the baby boomers, the people who are 50, 60, and 70. You people killed vinyl.
That's right. You got rid of it. You wanted something cool and high-tech.
Back in the 80s, you couldn't wait You couldn't get rid of your vinyl albums fast enough. You were dumping those things to buy. So I understand the nostalgia of it, but don't act like you've always been into it, because the baby boomer generation is the ones who killed vinyl. And now the millennials are resurrecting it. But the baby boomers couldn't wait to get the convenience and the portability and the enhanced sound and the digital tracking, you know, and the repeated play and all of those things that vinyl could never, you know, offer in terms of a digital format and the technology to play the songs in any order you wanted. And once again, to carry 10 albums around in your hand was a chore. To carry 10 CDs, you put them in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Or those little vinyl cases, not vinyl cases, little carrying cases.
So for all you 50s and 60 and 70-year-old folks out there who are trying to be hip and trying to be cool and trying to jump on this vinyl bandwagon and make it seem like, you know, one of these throwbacks from the past, like, oh, I told you how cool vinyl was. No! You couldn't wait, and not only could you not wait to get rid of your vinyl, but you made the record companies into zillion-dollar enterprises, because they got to sell your entire vinyl collection back to you again on CD.
There you go.
It was a jackpot for record companies. They couldn't even believe what was happening, that people were ditching their entire vinyl record collections, either throwing them out or selling them to use record stores, and replicating their entire 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 or 1,000 album collections on vinyl on CD. They made money by just selling the same album again. It was amazing. So I'm sorry, baby boomers. You know, video killed the radio star, and baby boomers killed vinyl. And that's just a fact. That's not even a joke. But yeah, wow. You think about it, I would say, what, the CD really came into its own where it was becoming affordable and becoming the main source of records. Probably, what, about 84, 85?
Yeah, I'd say about then, yeah.
Yeah, so look at that. So 32, 33 years ago, and it's already gone. It's a dinosaur. Yeah.
Now, here's my next question. I wonder if Walmart is going to follow suit.
Oh, I'm sure that now once that Best Buy bailed mm-hmm. on it, I'm sure for a while that Target and Walmart will try to take advantage of that and say, hey, we still have CDs. You can come to us and get CDs. But I guarantee within about a year and a half, those two will probably drop them too. And
they'll peter it out, yeah.
You'll probably just be able to get them on, from Amazon. Because, like I said, the only reason why they might hang around longer, at least at Walmart, to Jessica's point, is that country music is still very popular with CD buyers.
Right.
And a lot of people in the South still, you know, they all, Walmart is has a stronghold there. And so that may keep the CD alive. The country market may keep the CD alive a little longer than it would have been.
And the other thing being, like a Garth Brooks for years had special deals worked out with Walmart with selling his CDs and giving him special prices and preferential placement and all sorts of things. And I think other artists have done that too.
Yeah, remember the Eagles? They put the East of Eden album out?
A long road out of Eden was done like that too.
Yeah, and that was the same way where it was a Target or a Walmart exclusive?
It was a Walmart exclusive, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but wow, to see how fast, how dominant the CD became, it was adopted, and I'm not joking, folks. If you remember that time, I mean, within 6 months, they went from being this little kind of vanity, audiophile thing, in a few titles, just in the biggest stars. That was all that was on CD, and the first CDs cost $25 a piece.
Yeah, I remember paying, I think when I first got a CD player, I think I was paying about $15.99
yeah.
for a CD.
I was an early adopter. I got a CD player, I think, probably in like 83 or 84, late 83, early 84, and I did pay $25 for a couple of CDs. Yeah,
I got mine about 86, and I remember like $14.99 seemed to be like an average price.
But then it just, the dominoes fell. And like I said, record stores couldn't, they had to reconfigure their entire stores because they were made to hold albums in their bins. And initially, when CDs were released, they came in these long cardboard boxes and they were thinner. And so they had to reconfigure all their bins because the those boxes didn't fit well. You couldn't see the tops of the CDs. They went so low.
Yeah.
But so look at that. Within 30-some years, it just goes to show you how fast technology is really moving these days. That here was the dominant musical format, and within three decades, it's on its way out. How do you? I obviously you're choked up, Mick. I could hear it in your voice.
I'm verklempt.
Yeah,
I'm it's funny when you mentioned about the record stores, because if you remember, I used to work at an Oranges Records in Elmhurst, and when we opened in like November of '84, we were like 95% vinyl, and we were doing this transition, and we actually had bins where we could actually change them to be holding the CDs.
Oh, really?
And we started gradually doing that, and I was only there a few months before I moved on to another job, but I remember seeing the CD trend growing, and also we were still selling cassettes at the time, too.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, well, the cassettes are kind of, that's another retro thing, too, that's coming back. But the funny thing is, I actually went online, and I, for a couple of bucks in some cases, I bought Elton's entire album collection on 8-track.
Why would you do that?
Just for the hell of it. They were like three.
Do you even have an 8-track player?
No, of course not. I just have them on a shelf. Well, they were like $2. You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, because
I have them. I can't play them, but I have them.
I have them, and they're sitting there. Hey, Mick, if you want to take a look at Madman Across the Water on 8-track, come to my house.
Okay.
I'll pull it right
out. Guys, come over to my house. I got an 8-track player.
You do?
All right,
yeah.
There you go.
Why?
Well, I bought it. It's a stereo console that I bought from an old neighbor about 25 years ago. And it's got a built-in 8-track
player. Do you think it's still playing?
Yeah, I still got the 8-tracks.
So you still play them?
Well, I haven't played them in a while, but I know it still plays.
Well, that'd be great, because right in the middle of a song, it'll go... G-g-g-g.
I was just going to say, there's nothing like listening to your favorite song in your favorite spot, and all of a sudden hearing this, and then it moves to the next track.
Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, but I loved it when the other tracks would bleed through.
Oh, you could hear them in the background.
Yeah, right,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the 8-track was one of the worst formats for music. I mean, so Goodbye Yellow, Road.
Actually, I had in college a portable 8-track player.
Oh, I remember those.
Remember, it would flip open the speakers on either side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I, unfortunately, I was washing my car one day at my apartment, and I backed over the thing.
Probably the best thing that could have ever happened, Roger.
I know, but it had an AM/FM radio in it, well, and the 8-track player, and I'm like, well, wait a minute.
I can't remember the name of it now. Remember, there was like a portable... Panasonic made this really cool...
Oh, it was like a cube kind of thing?
Yeah, it was a cube.
Yeah, and there was a button at the top that you push. It looked like a plunger.
Yeah, that's how you carried it. Remember that?
It looked like a dynamite plunger. Like, okay, I'm going to listen to the next track.
That's exactly... It looked like a diamond, a dynamite plunger from like a Bullwinkle cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly... I remember that. Yeah. I do remember that.
And you stuck... I can't remember. It was something about carry. We got to look that up. We've got to look that up because it had some kind of a hip name about the portability of it.
Well, you know, there was another thing, because my sister had one. There was a round ball that was a radio, and it was called the Swinger.
Oh, everyone had that. I had that.
Did you really? I didn't have it. My sister did, though.
No, I had that. Oh, definitely. Yeah, those were cool.
The portable Swinger, sure.
Yeah, geez.
There it is. I see a picture of it.
Yeah.
It is called the Panasonic 8-track player TNT plunger.
There you go. It looks just like that.
It was actually called the plunger.
Yeah, it looks like a plunger at the top.
Yeah, I can close my eyes right now and totally picture that.
That's so funny.
And the speaker was like the right in the front there, box.
So where are you looking at that, Roger?
I just searched at it on Google, and the picture came up, and it's like in yellow, blue, red.
Maybe I can buy one of those on eBay and then play my 8-tracks.
There you go.
Very good.
And then you get to hear Love Lies bleeding in my hands.
Well, that will make the Saturday night all right for fighting sound even better. Saturday.
Well, the best part is betting the Jets will sound perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get the stutter. There you go.
Hey, Jessica, do we have to go to the news right now? Okay, I have no breaks, though, right? I'm fine on that.
We do have some breaks.
Oh, I have to take a break?
I mean, if Raj wants to take...
Well, what's up to you guys? He's in the driver's seat.
What should we do? You're in the driver's seat, Jessica. What do you do? You're shotgun. Let's go.
Well, it is 3:32. Do you have any news updates for us, Raj?
I think I do.
Listen to Jessica.
Wow!
Well, I guess that Jessica's microphone is down. That's gone. Wow.
You've lost control, Jim.
Holy smokes. Trying to be a nice guy. I said, hey, I'll let Jessica
say a few
words.
She hijacked the show from you.
Yeah, now she's introducing the news. Pretty soon she's going to tell me, Jim, can you load those commercials in and make sure you hit the spots? Holy smokes. I'll tell you, these millennials.
And before you leave tonight, this morning, make sure you edit the podcast.
Holy, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, what else do I need to do? Oh, my God. No, sir, Jessica, say something right in the microphone right now. Just say something. Notice you can't hear that.
Notice Jim, Jessica also wants you to take out the garbage before you leave, too.
I never really realized how much power I had until right now. Jessica, keep talking, because nobody will hear you. Okay, so you want me to go to a commercial or not? No. I mean, will we get in trouble if these spots don't play at the right time or no? And what should we do? Okay, she said we can catch up later. I heard that, but you, of course, did not because I turned her microphone down. So, Roger, it's 3:33, so you do your thing. Jim Toronto with you here, WGN, 720 AM in Chicago, filling in for Matt Bubala. He will be back next week, right, Jessica?
That's right.
He will be back, but I am here today. And in fact, if you like what you're hearing today, I hope you will. I'm sorry, go on. What were you saying?
Oh, we're enjoying the pizza without him.
Oh, yes. They had this pizza, and apparently they order pizza every Saturday morning here from a place. And I guess they got their normal order wrong. So instead of the usual large pepperoni, the medium sausage arrived.
It was still good.
Or just cheese. It was still good.
Yeah.
Pizza's pizza.
Okay.
I like Paisano's pizza.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, but still my favorite is still Lou's. Oh. A good Chicago butter crust, Chicago classic butter crust Lou's Malnati's.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But, yes, I just want to remind you that if you like what you're hearing today or this morning, please join me on July 4th, 5th, and 6th between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. I'll be filling in for Nick DiGilio 3 days in a row. It's going to be like a real job. I don't know what I'm going to do. But, well, you won't be with me, though, Roger, will you?
No. I will not. I'll be in that. You're working Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Correct.
So I'll be in Friday night.
Oh, but not for the...
Not Friday morning, okay. Though. No, okay.
Okay, whatever. No. Then no big deal.
But I'm sure I'll see you at some point.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Oh, I'm sure you will.
I'm like a bad penny. I keep turning up.
Wow. Got any more cliches there?
my whole life is a cliche.
Hey, call me anything, but don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
I hate when people say that. Anyway, yeah. Where are we at here?
What do we call Mick?
Oh, yeah, Mick. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I used to know a stripper named Bad Penny.
Hello.
Good morning. It is good morning. Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com to get your seat at the table. And you have your seat at the radio for another hour and 15 minutes or so. I'll be here till 5. Then I'll be handing it off to Orion. And as I said, I hope I get a chance to talk to Orion. I have not spoken with him in a long time. He used to be a regular on the afternoon show. He used to always talk to Orion. And, wow, just what a pillar of broadcasting. Still going strong. That is just inspirational. So
Looking forward to talking to Big O, hopefully. But right now, having fun talking with Mick Kaler on the line here, joining me. As I said before, you can enjoy Mick not only here on the radio talking with me in this segment, but it's not even becoming just a segment, Mick. It's actually becoming more than a segment.
It's a jaunt. I got to start joining the union, don't I?
Didn't we call you at 2 o'clock?
Something like that, yeah. You know, I was going to say when you're talking about this heat, I got to cut my lawn today.
Oh.
And I put it off like 2 days, and I knew this heat was coming, but I had other things going on. Oh. So it's obviously, you know, the earlier in the morning you cut the grass, the better, because it's going to get hotter as the day goes on. So I hope my neighbors don't mind when it's 6 o'clock this morning when I fire up the lawnmower.
That is the worst.
Oh, I know. I'm dreading it.
Here, let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got Bill on the line. Bill, you are a fan of the 8-track tape player.
Yes, I am, Elton. When I first bought my first car in June of 69, I had a 8-track player installed in my car, Panasonic, and it was one of those that you could remove the 8-track and put it in the trunk or whatever.
Right.
And I had it stolen twice. Once when I was bowling and I forgot to pull it out of the bowling alley, and the second time, I was at Northeastern College, and I was in a hurry, and I forgot to pull it out, and they stole it twice, and the insurance paid for it. And I got so mad at it being stolen, I finally put it into the glove compartment.
Did you buy it at Pacific Stereo?
Yeah, no, I bought it at the stereo place in Northbrook.
Just remember Pacific Stereo. There was a couple of, now, once again, the big box, but we were talking about Best Buy. Those big box stores have pretty much supplanted, but there used to be just pure stereo stores.
Remember Playback?
Yeah, Playback, and as I said, Pacific Stereo. And there were several just stereo stores for the audiophile, and... So how many 8-tracks did you wind up going through?
Two. Two. And then you remember the old retail store Turnstile?
Oh, I used to love Turnstile.
Okay, they had a, it was also by Panasonic, they had a 8-track player and a a regular hi-fi with the needle and everything combination. So I bought that, and I still have it here in the basement of my house.
Really?
So I was a fan of 8-tracks. I still have them, and I love them, and as I was growing up as a teenager, I have like 100, at least 145, RPM.
That was the thing, as a young kid, as I said, when I started to be an Elton John fan in the early 70s, right. I would just buy everything. So I had all the albums on cassette, and even though I did it because I had one of those, like you were talking about, my stereo system, most stereo systems that the average person had. Was this, like you said, it was a combo where it had the turntable.
Right, all in one.
Yeah, and the radio and the 8-track tape player. And so I just automatically bought the 8, even though I had the albums on vinyl and I had the albums on cassette. You know, if there was some Elton John product out there, I had to buy it. So I had all of Elton's albums up to a certain point until the 8-track went away in the mid to late 70s. Early 80s, I had all of his things on 8-track as well. And then I found out that I thought they went out of style pretty much in the early 80s, but when I went online to buy whatever there were of, I found out that in Europe they were still making, and even like in Australia, they were still making 8-tracks into the 80s, like into the mid to late 80s, which surprised me. I didn't think they were still around.
Anyway, I think first of all, you're the funniest man on the planet when you and Dean on Sunday morning get together and talk. It's hilarious listening to you. Even your show now, you put such a flavor into a good flavor into your shows and everything, and I think you're so
wonderful,
interjecting that to the the radio fans out in the world.
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate that, and so have an 8-track on me.
Okay. I think over the weekend I'm going to pull that combination out and attach the speakers and what the hell of it. Just put a couple tapes in. And
go ahead.
Go back to what it was back in the end.
Put one of your KTEL 8-tracks in.
Actually, I have the Beatles. The best of the Beatles, Volume 1, Simon and Garfunkel, Donovan.
Wow, look at you.
Tommy James.
Tommy James, and, nice.
Oh, and Neil Diamond, I have a tape of him. So I had a,
am a said to no one there.
So I had a variety of music. So.
They come into America. They come into America. Now he's going, they come into America.
Now that's going to be in my head the rest of the night.
Nobody knows this, but don't tell Bill, but I stole those two 8-track tape players.
Somehow I don't believe that.
Okay. Take it easy, Bill.
Okay, Alton. Bye-bye.
You know, on that 8-track thing, Jim, my sister had one of those all-in-one units, and one thing that people are forgetting, you could record on 8-tracks.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I definitely. But,
because my sister, when she bought her unit, she had these blank
the blank
A-tracks.
Bank
A-tracks. I said, what's that?
Yes.
She said, if I want to record, you know,
right.
off the radio or again, off the turntable. So she did that. And
yeah.
I had friends who did that, too.
Oh, I
and
did.
You would write it right on the actual tape. There'd be a spot where you could write the list of your songs on your 8-track.
Oh, I definitely did that. In fact, because my dad's, you know, the first car, when I first started to drive, I was driving my dad's car around, and his car had an 8-track tape player. Because that was,
yeah.
And in fact, you know what's so funny? I was just thinking about it. We're talking about the last half hour or so, the demise of the CD. It's really not a surprise that, as I said, it was just announced that starting July 1st, it's just a couple of days away from now, Best Buy is going to discontinue selling CDs in their stores. It's not a surprise because the last time we just bought a new car was in 2016, and the dealer said that that year was the last year that they were going to, at least that make, you know, the Honda, that was the last year they were going to even install a cassette or a... CD player in cars.
Right.
So now there's no more CD players even in cars.
There you go, see?
Yeah, I mean, wow. Oh, July 1st is tomorrow, right, because today is the 30th. There's only 30. Is it 30 days hath June? Is that in that little poem? 30 days hath?
I don't remember that. Yeah, because July
September.
1st is Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, right now, I don't know if you can get into a Best Buy. But you might want to buy the last remaining CDs. They're probably going to sell them for about 40 cents a piece.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a Best Buy near where I live, and two doors down is the closed Toys R Us.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
Forget going to Toys R Us. Get over to Best Buy and get your CDs.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, what's happening?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all these mainstays of a certain generation are just... They're just falling like dominoes.
Have you seen the picture online of Jeffrey the giraffe?
No, why? What are they doing?
Toys R Us had a picture of somebody dressed up in the Jeffrey giraffe outfit,
uh-huh.
And he's got a little traveling suitcase, you know, kind of wheels,
right.
And he's just standing in an empty aisle of a Toys R Us. And that's a picture that's online.
Yeah, there's
so
not...
Toys R Us is gone.
Yeah, there's
CDs
one...
at Best Buy are gone. Pretty soon KFC won't sell chicken, okay? That'll be the next thing.
There's a Toys R Us by me that, you know, that the sign has been up there for a while going out of business, so.
Yeah. Seriously, actually, tonight on our way to our little end of the year school year party, I was on my way to this restaurant, and I literally saw them locking the doors of the Toys R Us today. They're completely out. They're done. They're gone.
Wow! It is 3:54 here at WGN. Jim Toronto filling in for Matt Bubawa this morning. I'll be here till 5. We'll hand it off to Orion. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We will be right back. So please, no switching. Hey, take two. Jim Toronto with you here, filling in for Matt Bubala, and I'll be here another hour or so. Phone number is 312-981-7200. That's also the text line if you want to get a message in or if you want to give a call and have a little chat. 312-981-7200. After the break, we're going to talk about, let's see. I was going to talk to Mick about... cool summer jobs that you may have had. So maybe we'll talk about that. And I also wanted to talk about, before we leave here, what Apple is doing to help people get weaned off their iPhone addictions. And I've got a few things to say about that because, of course, if you listen to me with any regularity, you know that I have a flip phone. I don't have these. I don't need no stinking iPhone. I got a flip phone. I don't need no iPhones. iPhone, schmiphone. Do you have an iPhone, Mick?
No, I don't have a flip phone. I just had to get a new phone recently, and I got a Samsung, but I've just started to learn how to text on it.
Hey, on my flip phone, I have bowling and Tetris.
Thank oh, there you go.
Much. Thank you very much. I can do bowling or Tetris. I already have too many apps on my it's loaded, my flip phone. So anyway, it's about 4:01 here. Let me take a look at this. And so, oh, by the way, look what it says. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. They haven't called me. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20, WGN Chicago. For smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is about 4:01, and here is my very good friend. Well, I don't know. He's not here. But here's Roger Badich. Elton Jim Toronto here with you, WGN, 7:20 a.m. in Chicago. It's 4:13. We'll be here for another 45 minutes or so. Then we'll hand it off to Orion Samuelson. I have Mick Kaler on the line. What I wanted to mention is that we can also hear the fruits of Mick's labors on a fairly regular basis on WGN television, on the WGN Morning News every day. Mick and a friend of his, Al Flash, write, two or three, parody songs based on things that are going on in the news or other things
like
that.
Yeah, topical stuff, and yeah. We put videos to them, too.
And and so they play them on a pretty regular basis on WGN TV.
Yeah, right? I always say we're kind of like Dutch uncles to the station. We're just little contributors, and we're known as Mick and Al, and they've been very generous in playing our little songs.
Yeah, so if you watch WGN Morning News on Channel 9 every day, you will see and hear, Mick and Al's parody songs. But right now you're hearing Mick here on WGN with me, Elton Jim Toronto, filling in for Matt Bubala. And we were talking about some topics to talk about this morning before Mick came on. And one of the things you had mentioned I thought was kind of interesting were unique summer jobs that people may have had. Now, the interesting thing is, I don't know, when you and I were young, I mean, we all had summer jobs.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
I mean, everybody did. But today, I don't know how many kids really have summer jobs anymore, because when I go to a grocery store, for instance, I don't see teenagers in the stores either bagging groceries or getting carts. I see senior citizens, and I see older people. So, there's been such, in the last 20 or so years, there's been such an emphasis, on college admission and all this stuff. And so kids really don't, at least as much as they used to, have, part-time jobs anymore.
Yeah, well, in Elmhurst, where I live, I've even seen on the park district, they have these little signs up by the pools, message signs, and they're still looking for lifeguards, and that's a teenage job. It's not really an older person's job.
Right.
And they still need people to be lifeguarding at the pools.
Well, I had, I was, 17 when I got my first job. I worked at, I was a bagger, and then I became a cashier at the local Jewel food store in my neighborhood right there on Belmont and Laramie. On the northwest side of Chicago, good old in the Jewel system at that time, they used to refer to the stores by their address number.
Okay.
So I worked at 5129.
So you were at the 5129.
Yeah, because that was the address, 5129 Belmont in Chicago, and so I was at 5129.
Okay. Well, when I was in high school, I worked at White Castle, and not just in the summer, but year round. And we were known by our numbers, and I was at White Castle number 37.
Number 37.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I still, it's funny because when you checked in, when you clocked in each day that you worked, you had to punch your number into the register, and they would track it. And my employee number, I can still remember it, it's number 2197.
Isn't that funny how you remember these little numbers or these little...
Oh, yeah.
That, because for, like I said, I worked at Jewel from 17 through, I think, maybe it's like 21. I was there for about 3.5 years. And then after that, I worked at a health club in Morton Grove on Dempster. It was, at that time, it was called the North Shore Club. I don't know who owns it now. I still think it is a health club, but at that time it was a Bally's.
Fitness club, yeah, fitness place.
It was
yeah.
called the North Shore Club, but I think Bally's owned it at the time.
Okay.
And so what kind of jobs did you have? Like part time or summertime jobs did you have? You said
In high school it was White Castle,
uh-huh.
but then in college, for 3 years, one year I was at the Jovan perfume factory in Bensonville.
What?
Middle shift, 3:30 to midnight.
You never told me you worked for Jovan.
Oh yeah, and you sat on a stool, and there were conveyor belts, and you'd have a different job.
Were you like
there'd
Lucy?
Be like 15 people on a staff on a conveyor belt.
Were you like Lucy?
And one
and
day
Ethel?
Your job might be putting the caps on the bottles.
You were like Lucy and Ethel.
Seriously, it was like that. Or sometimes you put the bottle in another box or whatever, and you usually had a different job each day. And because you worked in the perfume factory, your clothes would reek of the perfume, you know, or the cologne, musk oil, whatever, all, you know, you couldn't wash it out.
How
so
funny.
I literally all summer just worked with two different pairs of pants and two different shirts because I didn't want to stink up all my clothes because you could never get that smell out.
Jovan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How funny.
And it's funny because years later when I started teaching and I taught for a while at Fenton High School, I was literally about a block south of where the factory was.
312-981-7200. What was your high school part-time job or summer job? I'd love to hear it. My gosh, I've known you for more than 30 years. You never told me that you worked at Jovan.
Yeah, and then the great part was you got a 60% discount on the items that they sold there. So that year I did my, you know, my Christmas shopping in the summer during the summer job. I think I spent like $30 and I bought like really cool stuff for everybody.
And then what else? So you went White Castle, Jovan.
Yeah, that was Jovan. And then 3 years in the Elmhurst Park District.
You didn't work for Gina Tay?
No, I didn't. No Gina Tay, no high karate either. But then I went to the park district. I was on the lawn crew, and the next year I did baseball diamonds. And then my last year, and it's funny because this heat reminds me of the summer of '83, which was very hot. I worked garbage crew.
Oh.
And that was we had to drive our garbage truck to the dump once every couple of days in this terrible quarry. And the smell was terrible, and we had to clean all the, you know, cans and everything, you know, and all the parts, and that was a very sweaty job.
So how ironic, you worked at both a perfume company
yeah.
and a garbage dump.
Exactly. And then, of course, and you remember this, Jim, when I graduated from Elmhurst College in '84, like anybody in college, you don't want to get a real job right away. So the summer of '84, I worked in maintenance at Poplar Creek.
Right, that was probably a cool job. You got to see a lot of the rock stars and stuff.
And what I did, I worked maintenance, so we'd come in at 7:30 in the morning and work till about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So we often didn't stay for the shows, but we would see the sound checks.
Oh, cool.
Of, you know, Elvis Costello, Paul Simon, Thompson Twins, all the acts that played there that summer, yeah.
Nice, very cool.
Saw Pavarotti warm up. I'm literally 30 feet away from the greatest tenor in the world, and I'm pressure spraying the seats with this hose, and he's like belting out this song in Italian, and I'm like, this guy must think I'm an idiot because I'm not even really tuning into him, but he's singing away his heart.
Nessun dorma, nessun dorma. Let's go to the phones here. There's Rick on the phone. Hey, Rick, how you doing? Oh, I think I just got rid of Mick. Could you put Mick back on? I'm sorry. Yeah, Rick, are you there? Rich?
Rick or Rich?
Rich, it's you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Good morning.
Hey, good morning
to you. I had an unusual job in Chicago. I used to be the guy that picks up the golf balls at the Diversey driving range.
Oh, really? Were you in one of those trucks?
I was actually in a tractor. It was like a cage. We had expanded wire put around it. Yeah, back in the early 60s.
I used to always aim for you.
Everybody did.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was great because you were like a moving target. So it was kind of fun to aim for the guy in that little truck.
Yeah, we felt pretty safe when we got out to about 175 yards because nobody was accurate back then.
Oh, how funny. So was that a fun job or a goofy job or what was that?
Actually, it was a fun job. I got to meet the pro at the driving range, and he gave me some golf lessons that I still remember today. So it was worthwhile.
Nice. How long did you do that?
For about 4 years, not only with the tractor, but in the evenings we used to do it by hand, and we wore actually an Army helmet and went out with a little can on the end of a stick.
Are you
serious? Yeah, picked up the balls that the tractor didn't get.
And were the people still shooting?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they were. But we started that. We started that at the 200-yard mark.
Oh, okay. So at least you're a little out of range. But oh my God, I mean, but somebody could still give a whack at 250 yards and maybe hit you, right?
Oh, there was occasions. That's why we wore the helmet. A lot of us had bruises, but yeah, not too many. But occasionally they did.
Would they yell four at the driving range?
No, they'd yell duck.
Yeah. And so, I mean, in all seriousness, because I would always wonder. This is so interesting. So, when you were in that little truck that had the cage around it, that would pick up the things, were you completely safe in there, or could a ball get through there?
It could not get through. We were completely safe. It was expanded metal, and the holes were smaller than the golf ball.
But I had to be, like, if a ball hit it, you still had to be a little shocked, right?
The noise was incredible. It sounded like an explosion when a ball hit the cage. But
wow.
Better than getting hit.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Now it's automated. Now I think it's automated. And I think you might have some listeners that will remember everything I'm saying, because it was pretty popular to the kids
needed
a part-time job.
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, I never did it. But I always, like I said, I would always, every so often out of a bucket of balls, I'd probably aim about 10 at you.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks a lot, Rich. That's very cool.
You're welcome. Love your show. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. We got Robert here. Robert, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm dying of heat out here.
Oh,
but
no kidding. Is it hot even now at 4:30 in the morning?
Well, I'm sitting on my back porch because I can't smoke in my house. Sorry, I smoke. And it's 80 degrees out here, and what did you guys say? It's 89 with the humidity or something?
Yeah,
it's insane. Because last night, it was only like 65.
Yeah, no kidding.
There,
it wasn't
Anyhow, no, I had to create my own job. I was like you. I worked as a bagger at Buell when I was like 16, 17.
Did you used to wear the gold vest or the brown vest?
Oh, yeah, the brown. Oh, God, I've done that. I'm 60 years old, so, yeah, I worked in River Forest, Buell.
Which one? On what street?
I can't remember. I think I was 17-something or other.
Was it on Lake Street?
No, I was on the River Forest, Buell is on... It is on Lake Street.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Still there.
Yeah,
still there. Yeah. But I had met a bunch of, the ladies were always very nice and kind to you. And I had met one lovely lady, and she said, why don't you, and the girl that was checking out at the time, our checker, and another gal that worked there in the meat department.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut him off. I'm so sorry. Could you call back my checking friend, my bagging friend? I'm sorry. I wasn't sure how to put Mick on and
Did you click me on? Or you clicked
him
off?
Yeah, I clicked you on and I clicked him off. Please call back. I want to hear your bagging story. Please, please, please call back. You'll get through in a second. I'll actually wait for you to call back. I won't take another call. I'll wait for you to call me back. So now,
Were you a fast bagger, Jim?
Oh, my God. I was such a good bagger that within 2 weeks, I was already on the super team, they called it.
Ooh.
And on Saturday mornings, they put the fastest checker with the fastest bagger, and it was the super team. And they had another person right behind the checker, and she would push the items to the bagger.
Okay.
And so that we could get the people out quick.
There you go. Yeah, volume business. You know, you got to get them out, get the next ones in.
No, I used to love bagging. There is an art to that, especially with the paper bag. Okay, now, Jess, I don't want to knock. Can you put the bagger guy on, or can I? Because I don't want to click Mick off again. No pun intended.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be here.
Okay, are you there? See, now Mick's gone. So are you there now, bagger guy?
And bagging, remember, double bags?
Oh, double bags.
Paper bags. And if you knew how to bag right, you could wing people out of there.
Oh, I used to, like I said, I was on the super team at Jewel where they got Saturdays. They would have the fastest checker and the fastest bagger, and they have somebody stand behind the checker, and she would he or she would push the food quick to the bagger. And, oh, yeah, I mean, think about how we've come full circle. So first there was the paper bags, and then they went to plastic, and now they're going back to paper.
And they're going back to paper. Yeah, I know. It's a crazy world. But I had a lady ask me, get these people together, and I'm having a yacht party. I want you to come out and cater. She goes, do you know how to bartend? And I go, I'm a 17-year-old high school student. Of course I know how to bartend.
Yeah, right.
And I started up on my own company, and we started doing yacht parties, going out catering, and I would be the bartender. The two girls would do the catering of whatnot.
Wow.
And that started up a company, and I went from Chicago. I ended up going to Saugatuck, did Saugatuck, ended up going down to Fort Lauderdale, ended up doing Fort Lauderdale. And when you go, and it's very scary when you go to Fort Lauderdale, because you go from a 45, 50-foot yacht, next thing you know, you're on a 130-foot yacht.
Oh, wow.
And at the age of 19, you're like, I'm loving life.
Yeah, no kidding. So, wow,
yeah,
living on a yacht, you can't go wrong with that. So that happened because you started working at Jewel and you met somebody, huh?
I started working at Jewel, met the right people, and next thing I know, and then from there in college, I ended up opening up Love Tours, and I took my final year in college, I took 32,000 college students to Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, wow, very cool.
Yeah, I actually had to go in front of the dean's school in order to graduate. See, they taught me at school, at college, to go into business. But when I went into business and actually opened my own company and wiped, because remember back in college, they used to have trips down to Daytona.
Right, right.
School. Yeah, well, the school would run it. I kind of eliminated all the schools because people would rather go on my buses, which had illegal booze going down Fort Lauderdale, and wet T-shirt contest.
Oh, my gosh.
All you can drink stuff.
Oh,
and
my God. You had it going.
So it created, yeah, and I've never stopped since. So.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thanks for the call. I got to run to do a quick break.
Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Great show.
Thank you. Jim Tirano at WGN here, filling in for Matt Bubala. We will be back right after this. No switching. Jim Tirano with you here at WGN. Elton Jim, you may know me as. Filling in for Matt Bubala this morning. I've been on since 1 o'clock. It's 4:42, and I am still wide awake and having fun. And look at Jessica bopping to sad songs over there. Oh, I thought you were into country music. You like sad songs? Thanks so much. Look at you. So, Mick, are you still there after I clicked you off three or four times, no pun intended?
Let me put it this way. I'm glad that you don't work at the nuclear silos at NORAD, okay? We would have launched on North Korea by now.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Don't worry about Trump. Worry about me. I would have,
yeah,
the missiles
exactly.
would have been flying around.
You know, it's funny you were playing sad songs and mentioning country music. I think that song, Elton John's song, Sad Songs Say So Much, that should be covered by a country artist.
Well, you know, actually earlier this year, there were two tribute albums that came out.
Right.
It was called Revamp, which was compiled of a lot of people, more newer pop kind of oriented acts. And then there was another one called Restoration, which Elton's lyricist Bernie Taupin put together. And his were more country based. And that Restoration album with cover songs of classic Elton songs.
Mm-hmm.
With a country flavor was excellent. I mean that.
Yeah.
In fact, I just saw about 2 weeks ago in Rolling Stone that album was listed among the top 50 of 2018 thus far.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in fact, you know what? On one of those, I have to look at the
Was Sad Songs covered? Dirks Bentley might have done that.
I think somebody did do that. Yeah.
I think I do remember hearing that because I was looking for that song in particular because that would fit the country format.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the phone. We're still talking about summer jobs or part-time jobs.
This is
Tim. How you doing there, Timmy?
Yeah, I'm great. Love this show of yours.
Oh, thank you.
But you're talking about two things, you know, summer jobs, and you're also talking about those 8-tracks.
Yes.
I think my 8-track story is probably better.
Well, yeah, we'll pick the good one. Pick the good story.
Okay. So we got a guy in town who is going to Master of Fine Arts in Local Music. And
so he's unemployed.
Well, no. I mean, he had jobs in music, but he got teaching. And
yeah,
that.
I know. I understand. Go ahead.
Okay, so, but then he got into something else, and he went into some insurance, or selling and sales like that, and then that thing blew up. And so he came back to town one summer, unemployed, and he went and worked for the city. So, you know, you see him out all summer, you know, doing the city work, you know, on the streets and all that, just making a living, you know. And so my mother had just passed away, and she had a 77 Cadillac, you know, the big fancy one.
Right.
And with an 8-track player in it. And she loved classical music and religious stuff like this guy did. See? Well, most of the time you hear these kids driving up and down the street with rock music and all that. And so I see him about a block away, so I stop, I pull over, I get some of my mother's classical music out, open the windows, turn it up wide open, start driving down the road, and this guy's walking down, you know, doing with tar or something like that, you know, and all of a sudden he hears that, and I mean, the guy, like, I can't explain the double take that man took, you know, when he hears this, you know,
and it was just crazy. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so it's, and then my job, you know, I'm an old guy, so, but years ago, I used to be in Beloit, Wisconsin, and during the summer, we worked for the city, and we'd get the thrill of going out one day a week hauling garbage.
Yeah, a lot Everybody of, well, has, well Mick, you hauled, seems that the garbage was a big summer job. I never did the garbage end.
Yeah, you haven't lived till you've done it, believe me.
Although I had to throw, I mean, when I was a bagger, I did a lot of things at Jewel as well. I used to go out and get the carts.
Okay.
And then the big thing was, which I think this is a dying breed now, I never threw out the garbage, but I had, remember when people would bring back bottles for deposits?
Oh, yeah, you told me the story about you guys had like some kind of a small garage or something that you kept all the old bottles?
Yeah, there was a whole shack when people would bring in those bottles for deposits. We would have to put them in this shack because then the bottle companies would come and pick them up, and we had to like have them all organized. It was a big thing, but I never, like you and Tim, I never threw out the garbage. Now, did you, Tim, smell from the garbage then after a day?
Oh, man, the maggots and that'd be crawling down, and you get to know them by name after a while. But, you know, the best part of that, if you could work that job in the city, in the wintertime.
Right.
Because then it's cool, calm, and collected.
Right, yeah. But the summer, yeah, you got all
the... In the summer, that stuff is oozing out of the... They give you a bucket, and the bucket's got a little hole in it. You pour the people's garbage in, you put the bucket up on your shoulder, walk out to the truck, you know, back, and then the stuff is coming out of those little holes and going down.
Oh, Tim, you know, and, good morning, everybody.
And so that's, you know, and then you were really happy to go back to college in the fall.
No kidding.
Yeah, really, really appreciative of the future you're going to have someday. Yeah,
I loved it. Oh, I love this school.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Wow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, it's funny, Jim, because when I worked for the park district, we also had to work on, I worked Monday through Friday, you know, like 7 to 3:30 or something like that, and I had a partner. But then also on Sundays, we'd have to go out in the morning, and we would have to go to certain parks that had picnic areas. And the garbage, you know, leftover corn on the cob, chicken bones, all that stuff, and the bees and the bugs
there.
Jeez. It was brutal. And they actually gave us these giant cans of bug spray to kill the bugs, you know, the bees and stuff that would get after us, because we'd try to put this stuff into the truck, and the bees would be, like, you know, chewing on the, you know, barbecued ribs and all that stuff. Oh. It was a messy job.
Wow. Jeez. And on that note, I will say thank you to Mick Kaler for joining me today for almost 3 hours. I really appreciate you hanging on and having fun. I hope you had a good time. I hope it was worth the loss of sleep.
What loss of sleep? You know, I was snapping during every commercial break. No problem.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Mick. Mick Kaler. You can hear his work in parody songs on WGN radio or WGN television sometimes during the week on WGN Morning News every day on Channel 9. So thank you once again, Mick. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet, pal. Take care.
All right. Let's see. It's about 4:49. Let me get this out of the way, and we'll take a quick break, and then hopefully we'll talk to Orion. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, filling in for Matt Bubala. Just about ready to hand it off to good old Orion Samuelson. How you doing, Orion?
I am not doing well.
Oh, my goodness.
Every summer, I get a bout of laryngitis and hoarseness. This year it came early. It normally comes in midsummer.
Wow.
It arrived this weekend. And Steve Alexander, who normally fills in for me, is in California. So,
oh my gosh!
Luckily, I have pre-recorded many of the interviews, so people won't have to put up with this.
Wow! I don't even think this is really Orion. I think it's some imposter.
Well, I wish it were, but nope, it isn't. And so, at least I've got a weekend to get over this thing.
So. Well, so very quickly, and I don't want to use the few vocal cords you have left. What is on tap?
Well, one of my favorite market analysts for the grain market and the livestock market for probably four decades, Richard Brock of Brock Associates in Milwaukee. And he's going to join Max and me this morning to talk about this up and down market with trade tariffs and trade retaliations and all of this. He does have some interesting views on that. We're also going to meet the new CEO of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, and we're going to check in this morning as well with Jim Fazell,
okay.
Because Jim has been talking gardening and flowers and lawns and everything else for about four decades here on the show.
Wow.
So he'll be checking in this morning to talk about maybe some damage from the rain.
Oh, very good. Well, Orion, let me just say, I'm sure you know this because you've been in the business for, you know, ever since, you know, man started to step up upright. But, you know, a little honey and a little water might
We're
help.
Doing that, honey and tea.
Yeah, honey and tea.
Already
yes, we. Yes, we all know that. Well, save those vocal cords. It's good to talk to you again, Orion. It's been a while, but it's nice to talk to you. And once again, please save those dulcet tones. We need our Orion.
We will work on it.
Okay,
very
good. Yeah, so stay tuned because Orion, right after the news, will be on with Max Armstrong and. Yeah, it's good. We used to always talk to Orion on the afternoon show, so it's nice to talk to Big O. You always talk about during the breaks. You'd always talk about how he was on his plane,
mm-hmm.
Air Orion.
Yeah,
yeah, very cool. Boy, I mean, it was so cool working with him on a daily basis because, as like everyone else in Chicago, I grew up seeing him on the news and hearing him on the radio, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm working with him and he's actually calling me by my first name. It was such a thrill, and still is.
Yeah,
even when he sounds like that,
yeah,
it's still a thrill.
Oh, and I am going to fly Air Orion Friday of this week.
So. Oh, there you go. Yes, very good. Where are you going this week?
Going up to Westby, Wisconsin, which is the area where I grew up in western Wisconsin near La Crosse, and spend some time with family.
Nice. Well, then, you know, rest that voice because you don't want to go there talking like that with your family.
You're absolutely right.
Well, I want to thank everybody who's listened for the last 4 hours. I've had a great time filling in for Matt Bubala. If you liked what you heard today, then please tune in on 4th of July, July 4th, July 5th, and July 6th. That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I will be on at the same time between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. And I'll be here. What the heck are you doing between 1 and 5? What you should be doing is turning on to WGN and listening to me fill in for Nick DiGilio on July 4th, July 5th, and July 6th. I want to thank Mick Kaler for jumping on and having fun with us for a couple, 3 hours. I want to thank my producer, Jessica Raines. And I'll say that before the beep, Jessica Raines, so you don't get blocked out by that. And, of course, always fun to talk to you, Roger. Really had a good time with
always.
You. Always. So, very good. That's about it. We're done. I'm turning by behind me, and the sky is actually lighting up. I can't believe that. I got here, and it was dark, and I'm leaving when it's light.